Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. You're listening to episode 42 of the Tales from a Butterfly podcast, titled Obedience, the Key That Can Unlock Your Door of Blessings. And I'm your host, Taria Shondell. So let's get into it. Hi guys, thank you so much for tuning back into episode 42. I took a little 3-week hiatus, or just a little 3-week winter break, if you will, just to get my thoughts together. I've been trying to get you some awesome guests lined up for the podcast, which I have some great people in the upcoming months and into 2018 lined up for you guys. So I'm super duper duper excited about the podcast. But then I was like, okay, Taria, it's been 3 weeks now, and I started itching a little bit, and I'm like, man, I need to get on back to doing what I love to do. I was so focused on trying to get certain things set up for the podcast, but then I had to remember, as long as I continue to do what God has called me to do, which I do believe is this, He'll take care of the rest and send the appropriate people to help facilitate this dream of mine. So now I'm going to go ahead and jump right on into the topic, which is obedience. And again, the title, I called it The Key That Can Unlock Your Door of Blessings. So let's jump right into what obedience means. Now, obedience and obedient are in the same family. So according to Merriam-Webster, obedient means submissive to the restraint or command of authority. Let me say that again. Obedient means submissive to the restraint or command of authority. Now, notice the word restraint is in the meaning for the word obedient. So the word restraint is also in the family of the word restrain. And that word means to prevent from doing, exhibiting, or expressing something. Another definition is to limit, restrict, or keep under control. I'll say that again. The word restraint is in the meaning of the word obedient. And the word restraint means to prevent from doing, exhibiting, or expressing something. Another definition is to limit, restrict, or keep under control. So when I started reading that, that was really interesting to me, because when you look at it in those terms, like what is being obedient to God? So that's basically limiting or restricting our wants and our fleshly desires to allow God's desires to take over. So that was really interesting to me, that in thinking of terms and being obedient to God, it's limiting or restricting my flesh or keeping it under control, you know, and it prevents me from doing or expressing things that I probably shouldn't express, my flesh, which is why I have to submit my flesh unto God, being obedient to God. Now, growing up, I heard from the church a lot, you know, the saying, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm sure many of you have probably heard that before too. Oh, obedience is better than sacrifice. But I know for me, I had never really looked at that scripture for myself, honestly, until a few years ago. And I really ended up seeing what that scripture meant. I just heard obedience is better than sacrifice. So I was thinking like, oh, being obedient means you won't have to sacrifice. Again, I never did my due diligence until just a couple of years ago to really look at that passage of scripture to see what context that line from the scripture came from. So the scripture that I'm referring to is 1 Samuel 15. Now, I am going to go ahead and read some of 1 Samuel. And I'm going to give you the background, you know, basically the synopsis of 1 Samuel 15. But there's a couple of key verses that I want to read from there. So basically, in this scripture, Saul, King Saul, he was king at the time, was going to go and fight against the Amalekites, another group. And so basically, Saul was given that word, you know, to go fight the Amalekites and you will win. So he was told to, when you go into the land, destroy everything, leave nothing alive at all. So Samuel 15 verse 3 says, "Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." So he was told to destroy everything, leave nothing alive. So it says that Saul summoned the men and mustered them, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and he set an ambush. Then he said to another group, the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Saul went ahead. He did what he was told. Partially, he attacked all the Amalekites and he was totally destroying the people with his sword. But then Saul and the army spared someone named Agag. Now, I could be pronouncing that incorrectly for all of you Bible scholars, but it says that Saul and his army spared Agag and they spared the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. They were unwilling to destroy it completely because they had the fatted calf and the sheep and the lambs, and it looked really good to them. So, of course, obviously the Lord is seeing all this. The Lord is the one that told Samuel, gave him the direction, and Samuel was supposed to obey, which was leave nothing alive. So the word of the Lord came to Samuel, which was a prophet, and said, "I regret that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all night. Early that next morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told that Saul had gone out to a place named Carmel. When Samuel finally reached Saul, Saul said to Samuel, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." So Samuel said, "What is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul says, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites." Now, side note, in other words, when Saul had went out to Carmel, he ended up basically like building an altar to sacrifice these animals, to sacrifice the best of the best that he had saved from when he went and destroyed the Amalekites. You know, back then in the Bible days, their sacrifice was, you know, the animals, building an altar and sacrificing the best of the best to God. So when Samuel gets there, he sees all this. And so then he asks Saul, like, basically, "Yo, man, what is all of this?" So Saul says, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." So in other words, we brought the best back, but we got rid of everything else. But then Samuel says to Saul, "Enough. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." So Saul says, "You know, tell me." So Samuel says, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel?" So before Saul became king, he didn't think himself big enough or worthy enough to be king. But then God anointed him king. So the rest of the scripture says, "The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying God? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." So that shows me. So when I finally read it and studied it for myself, I was like, wow, all this time, you know, we're saying obedience is better than sacrifice. I now realize what that truly meant. To obey is better than sacrifice. So again, back in those days, you would do an offering unto God in the form of a sacrifice of fatted calf, fatted sheep, the best of the best. So here Saul, he was told, destroy every single thing in the land. But he thinks, you know what? I'm going to keep their king alive, and I'm going to keep the best of the sheep and the calf alive and sacrifice it to God. Now, God owns everything. So if Saul thought, it's not as if God couldn't find any more good fatted calf or sheep. He told Saul, destroy everything. In Saul's mind, it's, no, I'm going to go ahead and keep this aside for God to show him that I'm obeying and sacrificing for him. But God didn't want that. So God is saying, to obey me is better than that sacrifice that you're going to give me. I'm not even going to receive your sacrifice because you didn't obey me. I told you to destroy it all and you kept it. And that reminded me so often how many times I know for myself that I'll hear God give me a direction or tell me something. And it may be a little uncomfortable or sound a little foreign or a little weird, or would God really say that? You know, I allow myself to be questioned, or if I don't just do it, but if I bring up the conversation to someone and say, I believe God is telling me to do this, but do you really think? And then you let the words of others, and they don't mean any harm at all, but you let the words of others kind of get into your conscience when only God's word should be there in terms of his direction. You know, that's like you giving your child a specific instruction to follow. And then they go out to their friends and say, well, do you really think my mom and dad meant X, Y, and Z? And then their friends get in their ear and say, well, no, they probably meant, and they're doing their own interpretation instead of just following exactly what you as the parent said. So I'm like, man, I do that so many times. And I can't say if that was me back then, back in the day, like, wow, would I have totally destroyed everything, or would I have used my own judgment? Like, oh God, I destroyed everything, but this was good. So I thought you might like this, when he specifically said, destroy everything. And that's another way to show that you trust God. Here you are, you see the value. You see the value of leaving all of this alive, but God is telling you to destroy it. But in your mind, you're like, but this is value. This can count as my sacrifice, or this can help pay for X, Y, and Z because this is valuable. But we're not trusting God, that God sees all and already sees far beyond you killing what you think is valuable right then, far beyond you sacrificing what you think is valuable right then, because there's something greater after it. But we don't fully trust him. So now we'll just keep this, even though he said to destroy it. But I'm sure he'll understand, because he knows my heart. And he knows that this sacrifice was just for him anyway. So I found myself there like a lot of times. And so recently I committed, and I like will say it over and over again. I'm like, Lord, I'm really serious. I'm going to obey you no matter how it makes me feel, no matter how small I think it is, no matter if I hear something in my head and I think that could just be me. I'm going to follow, because we also have to remember that God speaks to us in different ways. Now, the only way that you would really know how God speaks to you through verbal and nonverbal communication is if you have a relationship with him. Just like, for instance, me and my husband have a relationship. So when he speaks to me, he doesn't have to be in the room, but if he calls me, I know his voice. So I know, oh, that's my husband speaking to me. That's Corey speaking to me because I have a relationship with him. If he sends me a text message, and I would be able to tell if it was someone else texting as him, I think, because I know his language. I know how he talks. I know what emojis he uses. I know that about him because I have a relationship with him. I know that there's certain cues, like he'll move his body a certain way or make a sigh or have his hands a certain way. And even though if I ask him a question and he says nothing's bothering him and nothing's wrong, I know how to read his nonverbal communication. So I know something may not quite be right, but that's because we have a relationship, because we've spent time together. I've spent time in his presence. He spent time in my presence, and we've gotten to know each other. So the only way that you can know if God is speaking to you in order to even be able to begin to obey him is you got to know how he talks to you. So if you don't spend any time with him, if you just read your scripture of the day and go on about your way, but don't have conversation with him, you know, don't allow him to be a part of your everyday life, then you won't know if that voice is him, that still small voice speaking to you, or if he's speaking to you through someone else, or if he's speaking to you through a, you know, through nonverbal cues. So in order for you to even be able to obey God, you first have to know his voice and know that it's him giving you direction. And that's where prayer ties into obedience. If you spend time in prayer, like I said, you'll be developing your relationship. You praying and listening, you know, you talking, you listening, you know, and then throughout the day, sometimes I'll just be like, you know what, God? And I'll just talk and I feel like he's right there. And once I say what I have to say, I'm quiet and I listen for him. Sometimes I'll hear his voice. And then there's other times when I'll come across a person and they'll say something to me and I'm like, and it's directly reflects what I just talked to God about, you know, so I've made a promise that I was going to be obedient in everything, even if the direction seems, like I said, a little weird or, Taria, did you just make that up? Or is that you just thinking that? So now I want to give you three examples of my own personal life that happened in 2017 of this year that for a minute I thought, oh, should I really do that? But I went ahead and did it. And I realized that it was God definitely, you know, speaking to me. And because I knew his voice, I was able to obey him. So the first example I have is, so we got a new car back in May. And I believe it was like June. I ended up, we went away somewhere or did something. I'm not sure whatever. We had packed a bag or whatever. I know we went somewhere because we had bags packed. I can't really remember because we've been going back and forth so much this year. And anyway, Big Corey, my husband, sometimes you'll hear me refer to him as Corey or Big Corey because Corey Jr., you know, so. But anyway, I was cleaning out the trunk because I like to have a clean trunk. And Big Corey had some clothes back there and a dollar fell out of the pants pocket. And I picked it up and I immediately, no joke, heard, pray over that dollar and leave it in your trunk. And I'm like, what? That, come on, like, is that me just making stuff up in my head? But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I was literally standing where I park in my house, like in my little core area, like, oh my gosh, people are going to think if somebody comes outside, they're going to think I'm crazy. But I was like, all right, I'm going to do it, God, but I'm not going to be like screaming all at the top of my lungs. But so I said, Lord, I thank you for this dollar, keeping it in the car. Lord, I thank you for my car bringing money to the house. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but this is going to be my blessing dollar. I'm praying over it, Lord, and you're going to multiply this dollar 100 times over and you're going to use the car to do it. The car is going to bring money into the household. So I put the dollar at the very top, like inside the trunk, but, you know, pressed it. Like when you open the trunk, it wasn't sitting right there. I pressed it up, you know, way up inside the trunk and I kept it there. And then I was going to visit my grandma in June. The end of like June 20th. Yeah. So I had to have prayed this prayer like in the beginning of June. So the end of June, I was going to visit my grandma on June 20th. And Corey, when I would go to see my grandma, he would drive me to the Pilot gas station in Delaware. For those of you who know the area, Or, well, actually, it's right after Delaware. It's like right after you cross over the bridge, there's a Pilot gas station. So he would take me to meet my mom and dad there, and they would pick me up. So my mom opened the trunk and was like, and her and my dad were like, you have this dollar here. And I said, oh, I prayed over it. That's my blessing dollar. Corey said, yeah, that's her blessing dollar. I said, the car is going to bring money to the household. Didn't think anything of it. So now, here's the funny part. Through all that time, my neighbor was driving for Lyft, and I said, oh, maybe I'll do it. So he sent me the referral. Me and Corey kind of went back and forth on it. He really didn't want me to do it. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to leave it alone for now. But I had did the whole sign up thing or whatever through my phone. In August, we ended up talking again, and he was like, okay, and you can do it. So August was the month that my grandmother ended up passing. And again, at this time, she was in Florida. So I was in Florida when she passed, had to come home and then fly back out to Florida, you know, with the family, if the whole family was coming, you know, and that's rental car, this, that, just another expense. So it just so happened that the day I got home from being out of town when she passed in August, because I had went ahead and did the Lyft process, completed everything earlier in August, came home, my Lyft stickers were in the mail so I could drive. So I've been driving. And it's been, I really like it. I can say that it's been really lucrative. Like, it's been a blessing driving for Lyft. So now August, September, and then October, I was having a conversation with my girlfriend, Tammy. I know y'all have heard me mention her millions of times on the podcast. Hey, Tammy. But I was having a conversation with her, and I said, oh my gosh, it just dawned on me. That dollar that I prayed over and put in my trunk and said, Lord, I thank you that the car will bring finances to the family. It has been, because I've been using my car to drive for Lyft. See, because the truck I had before that wasn't the year that Lyft wanted it to be. So, I mean, at that time it was Uber. I was going to try to drive for Uber. So I couldn't do it because of the year of the car. So now here I am with a car that's new, and I'm able to use it to drive for Lyft that I found that I really liked doing. And here it is bringing income to the family. So I was like, Lord, I thank you. I'm going to keep that dollar in there. So the very first time a customer saw it, I said, oh, that's my lucky dollar. And then I went back and I was like, Lord, it's not my lucky dollar. It's my blessing dollar. So now when customers see it, I say, oh, that's my blessing dollar. And I explain to them, and some of them have said, oh, well, you know, I'm going to try that with different things. So I thank God for me listening. I hesitated for a second in the moment when I first heard pray over it. And I'm thinking now, and that's not to say that Lyft wouldn't have happened, but it was just funny how the words that I said were, Lord, you know, my car is going to bring money to the family. I don't know how. And at that time, again, I hadn't even thought about Lyft. And when I did, Corey was like, I don't even want you doing it. So it just kind of was like, okay, kind of like forgotten about. And I thought about that. Like, I actually prayed over that, and my exact words manifested, which brings me to Matthew 21, verse 22, NIV. And it says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believe and you shall receive it. Now notice it says whatsoever you ask in prayer. So you have to pray in order to be in prayer to ask those things. My second example of obedience, $2. It all started with $2. So a couple episodes back, you guys may remember, I interviewed a very good friend of mine named Jay Lee. Jay Lee, shout out to Jay. What's up, Jay? He's a huge supporter of the podcast. I don't even think he realizes just how much he encourages me to continue on, to keep going. He'll be like, yo, man, what's up? I don't see nothing. I didn't get a notification. And I'm like, okay, Jay, okay. I got it. But so the day I interviewed him, he came over, and he is a financial and credit specialist. So he can help you in terms of what you need in order to buy a house. He helps you get your credit together so that you can buy the house, tells you what you need to work on. This needs to be done. That needs to be done. Helping you with your savings. So as he was saying all that in the interview, I promise you, I heard he said something about having money in his savings. So I was like, let me get $2. And he was like, oh, you want it for real? And he reached in his pocket and he was getting ready to give me $2. And it's funny because, you know, nowadays, a lot of times, I know for me anyway, I don't have cash on me just like that. But he was to give it to me. And I said, no. And then Kuya always says to me, don't block your blessing. And I'm telling you, I heard the Lord say, take it. So I was like, okay. So I say on the podcast, I'm going to take this $2. And I said something like praying over or multiplying it or what have you. So we finished the interview and that's that. Corey does his thing in terms of, there's a special place I keep my podcast on this desk I have in my kitchen. So I put the $2 there because my podcast equipment was on the table. So that way Corey could do the editing and all of that. But I put the $2 where I normally keep my podcast equipment. So let's fast forward. I think it was 3 weeks after that. That was definitely in October. I think it was after October 15th. But let me go back. Before that, it was after October 15th. But on Saturday, October 15th, that night, I was in New Jersey for a family member's birthday party. And there had some friends of mine there and Pastor Billy and Lady Tanisha Hayes, who I interviewed on episode 41. So I made plans with them to interview them in November, right? So I made those, I believe it was November. Yeah. So I made plans October 15th to interview them in November. So now let's jump forward to me doing Jay Lee's podcast, which was after the day I made plans to interview them. So he gives me the $2 and I put it where I keep my podcast equipment. The next day I was like, all right, Lord, I got this $2. Like you told me to take it. Now what? So I prayed over it and said, Lord, use the same principle that you used for the dollar that I keep in my trunk. Multiply this money and allow the podcast to bring revenue into the home to help take care of the home. Let me be able to bring an even bigger piece, you know, into the house. So I put my $2 on top of the podcast equipment because once Corey's done editing it, I put it nice and neatly back on my desk and I keep my $2 on my little box of equipment and randomly, and it's in the kitchen. So randomly I'll come by and I'll say, thank you, Lord, for remember, use the same principle as you used with the car, the dollar in my trunk. Lord, you allow the car to bring money into the household, allow the podcast to bring money into the household. So I was saying it. And in your own mind, it's like, okay, could the lift have been a coincidence? But I'm still going to believe and I'm going to keep saying it. So the day is getting closer for me to go do my interview with Pastor Billy and Lady Tanisha. And I say, I'm thinking in my head, man, should I cancel? Because we have this coming up. Corey might be tired. He's been working a lot. Then it's the gas to get there, pay for tolls. And then I was like, you know what, Lord? I'm not worried about all that. You know, I believe I'm supposed to interview them. So I went upstairs and I asked Corey, hey, I know you've been tired a lot recently. Do you want me to cancel the interview or reschedule? And he said, no. So I said, okay, cool. So I confirmed it with Lady Tanisha and everything was good. So we drove. So that morning I got up and drove for, I was like, I'm going to pick up a couple passengers or what have you. And I only did it for like an hour or two. And I did like $50. And because my goal is to always make more than I put in gas. If I make more than what I put in gas, like double the amount I put in gas, I've done good for that morning or that day or what have you. So I did that. I think I put like 20 something in gas because it was already like halfway. So I made that double. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I made a cool little 50 something in these couple hours. So we get to New Jersey. We do the interview. The interview will bless your soul. So if you have not, go back and listen to episode 41 with Pastor Billy and Lady Tanisha. I'm telling you, I promise you, whether you're married, engaged, single, a woman, a male, anyone in leadership, in church, in ministry, it will bless you, I promise you. So we do the interview, and at the end of the interview, Corey's wrapping the equipment up to put it back, and Pastor Billy looks over at Tanisha, and he kind of puts his hand on her leg, and he said, you know, we were in prayer, and the Lord told me to give you something for interviewing. The Lord told me to give you something, you know, for your guests and whatever, and for doing the interview. And they wrote me a check. And it's funny because normally people may have like maybe put Corey's name on it too. But it was just funny how I asked the Lord to allow me to be able to bring you know, more income into the house to be that help me in that way to Corey, like I once was when I was working, you know. And they gave me a check, you know, in my name. And I told them, oh, but here's the back note. Let me rewind. That morning, after I came home from driving, I was packing up my equipment and the suitcase, right, to take to New Jersey. And I took the $2 off the equipment. And I said, now, Lord, and I'm saying this in the kitchen, Lord, should I take this $2 because my dollar in my car travels with me and you bless that dollar to bring in income through the car. So should I take this $2? And I was like, nah, I'm just going to leave it here where the podcast equipment sits. But Lord, remember, use the same principle for this podcast, $2 that you used for the car, multiply it over, let the podcast bring income into the family. Now, again, fast forward to that evening after I did the interview and they want to give me a blessing for coming down to interview them. And I was like, Lord, you turn that thing around like that fast, you know, and I truly believe it was because I did what he said. I prayed over it and I reminded him, Lord, listen, you told me to pray over this and this is what it needs to do. Which brings me to John 15, verse 7 NIV. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I'm going to repeat that scripture. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, remaining in God, because there's another verse that says, if you abide in me, which is the same, if you remain in me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. The word abide means to accept or act in accordance with. So in other words, if I abide in God, so if I'm in acceptance and act in accordance with God and his words abide in me, I'm in acceptance or acting according to his words, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So I just thank God for that scripture and for him honoring that $2 that I prayed over. Now, the last example involves Dunkin' Donuts. And this is funny, y'all. So I normally get up around 3:50 so I can be out on the road by like 4:30. The busy hours for Lyft and where you can get like your bonuses in the morning are from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Now, granted, I do get very busy at like 5 a.m., 6 a.m. some days, but always it's 7 to 9 a.m. It's called your power or peak hours. Those are the peak hours. So if you take rides, if you do a certain amount of rides and peak hours, then you get extra bonuses. Well, in the summertime, I was doing those peak rides because the kids didn't have school. Well, now that they have school, I try to be home by 7 because little Corey has to be school at 7:45. So I feel like I'm not going to be driving anyone else around or anyone else's kids around and not take my own kids to school. So some days we'd be pushing it because I'll get a request that's a little further out. But I would like to be home by 7:30 at least to take little Corey to school for 7:45. Then Sky has to be to school by 8:20. So I like trying to get her there at 8:15. So that really cuts the 7 to 9 where I can make like the peak hours. It cuts that down by a lot because I'm not driving those hours. I'm home making sure they're ready, getting them off to school. So that's why I try to get up at like 4:30 in the morning so I can catch those early birds before 7 to, you know, make as much as I can while I'm on the road then. So one morning I woke up a little late and I was like, oh man. And I vacuumed my car out every morning at the Royal Farms because it's only 75 cents and I was paying $2. Then I found one place that was $1.50. Then I found Royal Farms and was like, whoa, this is only 75 cents. So, and that's one thing about driving for Lyft that I love. I keep my car extra clean and I vacuum every day. And when I stop driving for Lyft, I will still do it because there's nothing like being in a clean car. And I also want to show God what you bless me with, I'm definitely taken care of. I'm not going to keep it all messy because I can't take 3 minutes out of my day to vacuum my car out. So I am. And that's just for me because I just feel like my car responds better when it's clean on the outside, on the inside. Now, the outside, I do have to take it and get it washed more frequently, working on that. But so anyway, I got a late start that morning. So what I'd normally do is I love 7-Eleven coffee and The kids, I give them $5 every day for lunch. That's $10 a day, right? So I go to 7-Eleven and Sky will put her money on her account. So she always ends up having extra. Little Corey makes money off me, y'all. And because sometimes he will only spend $1, $2, $3 or what have you. So some days with Sky, I don't have to give her the full five. If I see that, wow, she has $10 sitting on her account, I'll just give her four to throw on there anyway. So I go to set my routine is to go to 7-Eleven, get my coffee, get $10 cash back. Now I've been getting a five, four ones, and four quarters. The four quarters or so, then I can go and vacuum out my car. Again, I like to be on the road by 4:30, 5 o'clock. Because I know I have to come off the road at 7. And if I'm further away, like if I've done an airport ride and it's like 6:30, 6:45, I have to stop driving then because it's going to take me at least 30 minutes to get home. And then I have to take little Corey straight to school. So that morning I got a late start and I'm like, man, let me run in here, get my coffee and get my change back. And now it's like 5:15. I'm like, all right, I need to be on the road by 5:30. Now I normally drink a bottle of water and a coffee. Right. A bottle of water when I first get up in the morning and then that coffee from 7-Eleven. So now it's like 5:20. I go to Royal Farms. There's a line to use the air to pump your tire because it's free. And right next to the air, of course, is the vacuum. So I'm like, are you kidding me, Lord? Seriously, who needs air this early in the morning? Right. Even though I've needed air that early in the morning. But you know, when you're in a hurry, you want people to move. So I decide, well, let me get my gas first. So I got the gas first, then I pull up and finally it's my turn to vacuum. And I'm like, Lord, seriously, oh, now it's 5:30. It was like 5:35. I'm not even going to have time, you know, to really get on this road. So I end up pulling out and I'm like, uh-oh. I had a bottle of water and I had some coffee. I didn't drink some of my coffee. I should probably stop and use the bathroom before I get started because I may pick up rides back to back to back. Nah, listen, I don't have time to stop. I don't really have to go. Let me keep going. So I hear something say, go to Dunkin' Donuts, to the Dunkin' Donuts on Merritt Boulevard. Well, I've already driven past it. So now I got to go all the way up to the light, make a U-turn, cross back over. That's going to be like another 10 minutes. Lord, by this time, it's going to be 6 o'clock. So I'm like, okay, I do that, get to the Dunkin' Donuts. Now it's dark outside, y'all. Pull up next to somebody and I recognize her from the gym. There's this sprint class that you do on a bike. It is the bomb. Les Mills sprint class. Shout out to the instructor, Talisha. She's the bomb. But I haven't been able to take it because I don't pull myself off the road on Tuesday mornings. Like it's at 9:30. So I would have to pull myself off the road. And even though I only want to drive till 9 a.m., sometimes I may be in the middle of a ride or it may be super busy. So I just keep driving. And I'm like, oh, she is so sweet. But I know she's probably going to have a conversation. And I ain't got time for that this morning. So I pull up and she gets out and I say, good morning. And she says, good morning, and goes in. And I was like, yes, she doesn't recognize me. I go in and I'm telling y'all, the Holy Spirit said, let her know who you are. And I'm like, Jesus. Now this one right here, we not get ready. Holy Spirit, Jesus, I have got to move. I've already delayed myself. So it was quiet in my head. I'm like, so you ain't going to say nothing. So I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, hey, sprint cycle lady. And she goes, oh my goodness. Gives me this big old hug. How have you been? I haven't seen you. And I said, well, I've been driving, so I haven't taken the class. And she said, I haven't either because I've been working a lot, you know, with the holidays coming up. So I said, well, it was really good to see you. I go into the bathroom, use the bathroom. And in the bathroom, I'm like thinking about all the things like, okay, I'm got to go on this. I'm supposed to go on this trip this month. So I need to pay X, Y, and Z. Corey's birthday is coming up. Need to pay. So I'm running down everything that I need to take care of. So I'm like, so I said in my head, you know what, Lord, I ain't running no numbers. I'm done running numbers. You'll supply not just my needs because they're taken care of, but my wants, because there are some things that I do want to do for the hubby, for the family, whatever. So I'm like, Lord, I said, I'm not running numbers anymore. So then I was like, let me hurry up and get out this bathroom, get in the car. As I go, I leave the bathroom. She gives me a hug again and she says, you know what? She stops me and she says, every time I go somewhere, I always ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be, help me be a blessing to someone. So who should I bless? So next thing I know, she pressing money in my hand. And I was so like stunned. I was like, again, get ready to say no. And then I, you know, hear Corey say, girl, don't block your blessing. So I'm like, wow, thank you. And I give her a hug. And then she said, you know what? And then she presses more money into my hand. And I'm like, wow. So I give her a hug and I said, God bless you. And she said, no, God bless you. You know, God bless you. And so I get on in the car and I'm like, Lord, you know, if I had not been obedient and let her know who I was, I could have just said, hey, when we first got out of the car, I don't want her to know who I am because I'm in a hurry, because I woke up late. I delayed myself. I'm not going to make the money that I want to make today. So I just need to go ahead on. And the Lord, and I heard the Lord say, let her know who you are. If I had not have done that, I would have missed a blessing that God clearly had for me, because I only know her from cycling class. We've talked we'll say hey to each other in the class and maybe talk for a few minutes outside of the class. But it's been months since I started driving for Lyft in August that I've been to that particular class. So I was like, wow, Lord, like just that obedience, the little things. And, you know, it just really, all those three instances just really let me know that I need to make sure that I'm continually seeking God's voice and listening for him to speak to me, whether it be verbal, you know, or nonverbal, or him using other people. And that the Lord is really listening to my prayers. He's really answering my prayers. And that's what I want to encourage you guys to get in the Lord's face, get on your knees and just spend some time with him and let him know, you know, the desires of your heart. You know, let him know, even though he knows, sometimes he just wants you to say it. And then when he gives you direction on how to go about it, don't let the timing, the place, or how it sounds stop you from carrying out his direction. And don't be like King Saul, who decides to take part of his direction, but then I'm going to dismiss the other part because in the end, it'll all work out. You need to follow his instructions completely and he will bless you. And in order to see the promises of God, we have to be righteous. We have to keep the commandments of God, which is being obedient. Keeping his commandments or being obedient to him. And we have to reverence God even in the middle of adversity. So even when we're going through something, when we're running numbers in our mind, or when we're going through something with somebody at the job or at the house or a friend or in a relationship, when you're going head to head with the devil, you still have got to reverence God in the middle of your adversity, all while anticipating the manifestation of the promise. If you know he promised it to you, he gave you the direction on what to do. So even if it doesn't turn around and manifest right in that scenario, it's going to manifest down the road because you were obedient. So we've got to continue to reverence him and keep his commandments so that we can see the manifestation of his promise. And you may be asking, well, Taria, okay, all that's well and good, but how do we do that? We've got to do that by using the power of the Holy Spirit that is upon us and in us. That we have the Holy Spirit for that reason. We can depend on the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that will give us the strength to meet God in prayer. Some days you don't feel like praying. Holy Spirit, come on now. I don't even know what to pray. Some days you don't even know what to say. But it's the Holy Spirit that'll give us the strength to meet God in prayer and to follow and obey the directions he's given us, no matter how small we think they are. So I want to leave this scripture with you. James 1 verses 22 NIV. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me and listening to Tales from a Butterfly. I'm at episode 42. Man, God is so good. Now, please go subscribe and rate the podcast by clicking on the 5th star. It takes less than 2 minutes, I promise you. And if you're feeling real generous, you can leave a comment also. It can be quick. You can say, great. It blessed me. Whatever you want to say if you're feeling generous. Now, you can do this by going to either iTunes, Blueberry, BluBrry, Stitcher, and Google Play Music and typing in Tales from a Butterfly. The more ratings I get, the more visible the podcast is, which in turn will bring in more sponsors. And that can be really important to the podcast. Also, I know that I say that at the end of pretty much every podcast episode, but if you could please share the podcast episodes, it would be a huge help. Some of you have asked me what you can do to support the podcast, and the answer is to subscribe, to rate it, and to share, and share alike. Remember, sharing is caring. Share it on your social media sites. And with me, I share the podcast on my Tales from a Butterfly Facebook page and also from my personal page, Taria Walker Faison. And I share the Blueberry site. So if you click on it, it will then give you the option to subscribe on either iTunes, Android. You can also subscribe by typing in your email, and every week when a new episode comes out, well, it's supposed to be every week, but y'all know what I'm saying. Every time a new episode comes out, it'll come directly to your email. And speaking of social media, you can follow me on Twitter at T.S. Faison, on Instagram at T.S. Faison, and on Facebook at Tales from a Butterfly. And guys, remember, no matter what temptations you may face this week, no matter how many times you're tempted to follow the rules that your flesh wants you to follow, remember, God has a promise and a purpose for your life. So get down on your knees and lay out before God and cry out unto Him, and He will hold you up and fight the enemy on your behalf. I love you guys, and thanks for listening.